Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Well, welcome this morning in the house and online. I'm Deanne. I'm one of the pastors here. But you know what? I was thinking as I was getting ready for this. This week has been a busy week. Most of them are. And as I was preparing for this, I got a phone call. And the person says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I knew what was coming next. Do you ever have those people in your life that they are not afraid to ask anything from you? They are just so bold. They will just ask the world. In this case, it was, "What's for dinner?" And by the way, can I come and bring a friend? And oh, by the way, could you cook this specific thing that I want you to cook? It was my day off too. And I said, sure. Actually, I said, let me run it past your dad first. And you know, the thing about that is this particular child of mine is pretty bold in general. You'd know him if you saw him. And we have that kind of relationship that it doesn't rely on me always saying yes to him. But he's not afraid to ask. And so note to his siblings who are here with us today, you have not because you ask not. So if you need a dinner, just ask, okay? Your brother does. It's okay. It's good. Because we have that relationship. We want to spend time together. And, you know, he knows that, you know, I know it won't hurt his feelings if I say no. And, you know, the fact that he even wants to hang out with us is pretty awesome. And, you know, you parents of teenagers in here, I know that you can't even fathom that that's a reality, that they're going to want to hang out with you someday, but just hang in there. It'll happen. It should happen. You know what? They came late. They stayed longer than we expected, and we were tired, but, you know, it was such a good time just to fellowship together. And that is what real relationships look like, that you're not afraid to put upon the other person, and you're not afraid to drop in unannounced. Although my husband will always say, "Deanna, do they know you're coming?" It's like, no, it's okay. They know. I have a key if they're not there. So, we do that because we have that relationship. You know, we've been talking a lot about 21 days of prayer through the last 4 weeks. So Pastor Stan led us through just that heart posture that we need to have when we pray and gave us a pattern of prayer using the Lord's Prayer as Jesus. We're continuing to look at the Sermon on the Mount. And then Pastor Anoke knocked it out of the park last week telling us or helping us understand how important it is to come to God with that forgiving spirit. You know, if you've missed any of those, you can catch those up on our channels, the online or however you listen to your podcasts or whatever. And I would encourage you to do that because there's some really good stuff there that will help you in your prayer time. But, you know, more than that, we really wanted to see our community come together as a community because it's one thing, even if you're the most stellar prayer around, it's nice to do it with other people, isn't it? I find that is really helpful. And you know, I'm just curious, how has that been going for you? We heard some stories on the video, and I just want to encourage you, maybe you have some stories. We love to hear those stories of how God is working in our community. And so I want to encourage you that it doesn't stop here just because this series ends. We want to keep it going because we want to see what mighty things our mighty God can do through Catalyst. Today we're going to look at one last element of making prayer happen in such a way that excites me anyways. We're going to answer this question. What does it mean to pray with boldness? You know, I immediately think of boldness as that thing that you do on an email or a presentation that you're doing. You want to bold that stuff so people notice it or underline it maybe. But when it comes to prayer, what does it mean when we talk about boldness? We're going to talk about that today. You know what? We're going to jump ahead in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and read this, that Jesus continued to talk about prayer to his disciples and his listeners. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, typo, the door will be opened. It's a pretty great challenge to keep on doing that. Keep on, keep on, keep on. And what a great promise, huh? You're going to receive what you ask for. You know, I always, not always in my past, but always take pause. Because when I pray for somebody to have complete and total healing, I always catch myself and think, that doesn't happen this side of heaven. So be careful. God can take away sickness for a season, but we will all stand before him someday, and this life isn't all there is. So it's pretty powerful when we think about it. What are you asking for? But if you're like with me, sometimes I'll be asking for something, and I'll be asking and asking and asking, and there was one thing in particular that I was asking for a couple of years. And I knew that this was a good thing. I knew that, you know, I really wanted this thing for somebody else. It wasn't even really for myself, although there had benefit in it. And I was praying, and I prayed this way for a while. And when, you know, I put parameters around this prayer and said, you know, God, do it in this time. And it didn't happen. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I had the timing wrong, so I'm going to pray, God, do it in this way for this reason, which was another good reason. And it didn't happen that way. And then I thought, well, I'll just change it. And, you know, for this reason, God, for this reason. And it still didn't happen until I got to the point and I thought, well, God, maybe you don't want to answer this prayer. Maybe I, you know what, you know better. And I let go of it. And you know what happened? He answered in a beautiful way. His name is Otis, by the way. But not God's name, but the answer to that prayer was Otis. And you know, it takes that constant bothering God, because God isn't bothered. You know what? In fact, God tells us, it doesn't bother me. I don't want you to just bother me. I want you to pester me about what it is that you need. Jesus told us, keep at it. Keep at it. In fact, we read about another instance in which he was teaching his disciples on prayer. He used a story to illustrate that. We can read about this here. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story or a parable to show that they should always pray and never give up. He goes on to tell them about the story that he told them was about an unjust judge in a city, and a widow woman came to him. And you got to understand, in that culture, a woman without a husband didn't have a lot of standing in the community, but this widow kept going to the unjust judge, and it says the judge didn't fear God or care about people. So he had no reason to answer this woman's request. And she had a dispute with an enemy, and she kept saying, I need you to bring justice. I need you to bring justice. I need you to bring justice. And finally, not because he was good, but because he was tired of hearing her, it says that this woman's driving me crazy. That's why I'm going to give her what she asked for. He was tired of her constant request. The Lord goes on to say this. Jesus goes on to say this. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? You know, I was thinking about this a little bit deeper this week because, you know, this whole idea of justice. We had been praying as a staff, and somebody was praying, pouring their heart out about just the brokenness that our community has felt with this child care center issue. And it touched close to our home as well. And, you know, as I listened to her pray, the Lord just impressed upon my heart so deeply, thank you, Lord, for bringing it to the light. He is a revealer of things. Justice can be done when things are brought to the light. It's those things that are hidden that cause us the most trouble. Our God is a great revealer. Nothing's hidden from him, and he will bring justice in his time. You know, I don't know what you've been asking God for, but we can be sure of this, that when and how we seek God, he wants us to ask and to seek and to knock. You know, and I was studying this out, I was like, oh, look at that, A-S-K, ask. It's pretty simple. Sermon could be over, right? Just keep asking. Be careful what you wish for. But God wants us to be boldly persistent. So I'm going to persist on through this with boldness, because God wants us to be boldly persistent when we come to him, that we keep asking. There we go, it is. He wants us to be boldly persistent. What do you think that is? You know, this bold persistence that God wants us to do, to pester him with our prayers. Think of it like doing reps. When you and I'm not a muscle builder. I would have liked to have been at one time, but it just didn't happen because I didn't do enough reps. But you know, when we do that constant prayer and stuff like that, we're building those faith muscles, and God is teaching us. We're growing into his presence, and he's teaching us things about himself, and he's teaching us how to wait and to persevere, and we build those faith muscles as we watch him and wait for him to come through. And you know what? He has often come through in my life sometimes when I prayed really wimpy prayers that's like, you know, God, you did this for so-and-so over here. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing for us. That happened when we were raising support as mission workers. And he did it, and I was shocked because it was too big of an ask. I didn't think he'd do it. And then there's been other times that I've really asked, God, save this person, and they don't get saved, and I don't understand that. But if you remember that part in the Lord's Prayer that Pastor Stan taught us a few weeks ago, that there's a catch to this, to asking and getting that answer and to knocking and having things opened. It's this thing right here. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, there's a couple of keys there. We have to seek his kingdom above everything else. So it has to be in line with what he's doing, and we have to live righteously. And you may say, oh, that excludes me. I'm not righteous. We'll get to that in a second. And he'll give you what you need. He may not give you what you want or what you think you need, but he will answer. He promises that he will. We've got to pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the key to the promise Jesus shares here. So thinking a little bit more about this, you say, well, boldness isn't really in that passage. So where does that come in? We can look to another writing in Scripture. Did you know Jesus had a half-brother? He had a few half-brothers, actually. One of them was named James. And in the book of James, which is in the second half of your Bible in the New Testament, James wrote this: the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it produces wonderful results. Isn't that good news? I think that is such exciting news. That power is at our disposal. Don't let the righteous thing discourage you because you're thinking, oh, God won't answer this prayer because I've got this in my life. Maybe that's why he wants you to draw near to him, so that he can shine his light into every dark corner of your heart and bring you into closer fellowship with him. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I want us to grasp the reality of God's desire for you to seek him, because that is really what it's all about. He will answer when we ask, seek, and knock, because he says he will. And we can expect answers because we know he is what? All-powerful. He is the omnipotent God. He can do anything, moving mountains even. He's faithful. We know he's true. He's wise. He knows exactly what he needs to do to make it all come together. You're not going to surprise him with anything you ask. And you know what? He's our loving father. You know that my son asked for that meal because he's my son. And we have that relationship. Well, we have a loving father. We are his children, and he wants to hear from us. He wants us to ask. You know, Jesus went on to say this: you parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. Of course not. When my son asked for meatloaf, he got meatloaf. He goes on to say this: so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those that ask him? He is good, and he is our Father. And because of this, it's not because of who we are, it's all about who he is. And so we can learn this takeaway about boldness. Trusting God's goodness makes our prayers boldly expectant. We can expect goodness from our God, even if it doesn't make sense. Can I just add that caveat? You know, boldness, if we look in the book of Hebrews, now Hebrews is in the second half of our Bible, and in it we read a lot about faith, what it looks like, and prayer, and the part of prayer plays in that. And the writer of Hebrews says this: so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. That's where that boldness is. We're to go boldly in. You know, with that idea of boldness, what you need to understand, if you're not a church person for all your life and stuff like that, you may not be aware of some of this stuff that's in the Old Testament. And we sing about it, and sometimes it doesn't make sense, but it sounds nice, so, you know, we just sing along and it's okay. But in the Old Testament, the people, God's people were not allowed. There were barriers to their access to God. In fact, when the Ten Commandments were given, God told Moses, don't even let them touch the mountain or they'll die. But God loved his people and he wanted to spend time with his people, so he instructed them to build a portable church, if you will. It was called a tabernacle, and it was a tent that God would meet with his people. In fact, the Bible tells it a little bit like this. God said, let me live forever. Oh, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold that thought. How I got here was I was doing my quiet time. The quiet time tool is that thing that we do that we've focused it on prayer this month, and we looked at some of the different prayers of real people throughout Scripture, and I was reading one of those in the Psalms. So we had a few Psalms in there, and it said this, oh God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer from the ends of the earth. I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge. A fortress when my enemies cannot, where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. You know, I read that and I've read it before, and I just thought for a second, though, it just hit me out of the blue. It's like, wings? God doesn't have wings. Angels have wings. What is this talking about? And of course, it's written, the book of Psalms are poetic, and there's a lot of metaphorical imagery in it. So I thought, well, you know, maybe it's that. But then the more I pondered it, the more I thought about it. In that Old Testament, you know, where God's people couldn't approach him, and he had them build that tabernacle, and there was a place or a dividing place in that tabernacle called the Holy of Holies. You know, when we sing about the curtain was torn, that's what it's talking about. When Jesus rose from the dead, that curtain was torn top from bottom, removing that boundary. But back in the Old Testament days, it was there. They couldn't just go into his presence. So thinking about that, you know, I've got a five-minute Jesus for you, okay? If you listen to John Dixon, he's a great theologian, Australian theologian, but he always says that when he's going to nerd out. And so I'm going to nerd out on you for just a minute, and thank you for listening. You know, that shelter, underneath the shelter of your wings, is a reference, I believe, to the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant. When God wanted his people to seek him and worship him, he gave them very specific instructions on how to build this tabernacle or this place of meeting. And you know what? With that, we read this in Exodus. Have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. God wanted to commune with his people, and, you know, reading further, he instructed them about one particular item to go in that very holy place. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you're an Indiana Jones fan, you might remember there was a whole movie about the Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's what they were looking for, was the Ark, the Lost Ark of the Covenant of God. Might be before your time, but don't take your theology from Hollywood, because it's off every time, I can promise you. They try, but they're very bad at it. But when we read further in this chapter in Exodus, God says this, I will meet with you there and talk to you from above the atonement cover between the gold cherubim, those are angels that hover over the Ark of the Covenant. You're like, well, what does this have to do with us today? Well, I'm going to tell you. I found this picture. Now, I often Google some things when I'm looking for imagery to, you know, help us get our message across and understand things. You know, and I was thinking about, you know, the Ark of the Covenant had wings on it, and that's where God met his people. And, you know, funnily enough, side note, I have never ordered anything from Temu or Temu, however you say it. And yet, every time I Google, they're always ready to sell me whatever it is I'm Googling. So apparently you can go on Temu and get a copy of this. I don't know. So if you happen to need one, it might only be this big, but, you know, you never know. They have cheap shipping, apparently. But you know what? This is God gave such specific instructions, and this is what his instructions told them to build. And he said, you know, I will meet you in the sacred place, in the Holy of Holies, at the mercy seat, or that lid of atonement. You know, I wonder if that's what David was talking about, beneath the shelter of your wings, that place of communion with God. In the Old Testament, it looked that way. But when we fast forward to the New Covenant or the New Testament, that's the second half of the Bible, we find some really, really good and exciting news. Paul was one of the apostles, and he wrote a letter to the early believers in Rome, and he said this: God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. You know, this wording here in orange, sacrifice of atonement, is a Greek word, hilasterion. And hilasterion literally translates mercy seat or propitiation. You know, in the Old Testament, they made sacrifices and the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat and God would descend and evidence that he accepted the sacrifice. And they had to do that over and over and over and over because it wasn't enough. But when Jesus did it, he became the mercy seat for us by the shedding of his perfect blood as a perfect one time for all time sacrifice for sin. You know what? The writer of Hebrews goes on to tell us this: and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Isn't that exciting? The fact that they could not even approach God because of his holiness in the Old Testament, we have free access. And you know what we do with it? So often we don't take advantage of it. Prayer seems to be a duty. I did a little bit of searching this week. I'm thinking, I wonder what scientific evidence has about prayer and what it does in our bodies, because I wanted another D word, because I was trying to impress Pastor Stan. And it's not a duty, but it's our dopamine hit. And there's a lot of scientific evidence that talks about how prayer affects our very bodies. And when we commune with God, it is beneficial for us. You'd think we would do it all the time. We wouldn't need to be reminded. You know, remember that righteous thing that we can say that, you know, I'm not righteous, I can't go in. The beauty of this is this: because of Jesus, we can boldly enter the very presence of God. If you are a child of God and you have been brought under the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you have an all access pass. It's there waiting for you. So if I've convinced you that you've got access, and maybe you already knew that, you might be wondering, like I often do, well, yeah, that's nice, but what about answers? I need answers. I am not going to promise you that even if you ask, seek, and knock, you're going to get the answers that you want. Sometimes God does not come through like we want him to. The cancer doesn't go away. Our arms are still empty because we haven't found that some special someone, or we might still suffer from that infertility, or maybe we've lost someone that we loved and we don't understand the whys. He will let us flounder and struggle sometimes so that we will seek him. He has purpose in it, never doubt that. Or worse yet, he doesn't even seem to be listening at all sometimes. We start to begin to wonder, is he real? You know, there's been a lot of unhelpful teaching, and I want to unhitch you from this teaching if I can, because it is so unhelpful, and it's really twisting what God said. Yes, he said, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be open to you. But what they miss in all of that is that God's truth is about us seeking him. And see, when they claim that God must bow down to our demands, that is false teaching. We don't tell God how to be God and how to do it and how it's all going to work out and stuff like that. You know, yes, he did promise these things. But the asking, seeking, and knocking is us seeking him, seeking his will, and not expecting him to bow to ours. They've missed the point. They've missed the point. And if, in case you're wondering, sometimes they'll put that guilt back on you. You didn't ask enough, or you didn't ask in the right way, or whatever. That's rubbish. It's rubbish. So let it go. But I will tell you, if you want to see a breakthrough in your prayer life, I can tell you it's going to come when you're willing to face the honest truth about your own shortcomings. You know, we don't get answers because of our boldness as if we deserve them. And you know, this was driven home to me 12 years ago this week, when somebody said, oh, you need to take your daughter who's sick to a faith healer and stuff like that, and I was wrestling with God and stuff, and I came to realize, well, you know what? God does not owe us a healing. He doesn't. We haven't earned it. You know, it may not be what's in his bigger plan for us, but we did get a yes from God. He did spare our daughter, and her donor and her are sitting on the front row this morning, and we are just so thankful that he did hear those prayers. But it wasn't because we deserved him. I didn't have to posture or pretend. In fact, I was really wrestling with God and his goodness because we had served him for so long. How could we be going through hard stuff? But you know what needed to happen? I need to remember that God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. You know, with that idea of grace, I remember when we were much younger and we had a good friend that he and his wife were servants in the church. And our whole church came around this young family to pray because their 10-year-old daughter had tumors up and down her spine. It wasn't looking good. And we just knew God would heal Danielle. She was only 10, and my son was 10 at the time, and I'm thinking, how could God take a 10-year-old? Well, God did just that. You know, I can't tell you why God let that happen, but I can tell you that that family still loves and serves God today, even though they didn't get their yes, even though we came around them and prayed. You know, what I've learned through my journey is that boldness is not arrogance and pride. It's not entitlement, I deserve this. And it's not that assertiveness is that, you know, I'm going to make God bow to me. We would never say that, but we think it, don't we, that, you know, he owes me this answer. But boldness in prayer is humility. It's honesty and it's authenticity. And I can't help but think about that guy that wanted his daughter healed and he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. God knows your heart. He knows how you're struggling to trust him with what he's taking you through. He promises us mercy and grace at his very throne. You know, my husband told me, I said, you know, I don't think I could go through what Alan and Donna went through way back in the day. And he said, honey, God gives you the grace when you need it most. He doesn't give it you a whole measure ahead of time. He will give it to you as you need it when he brings stuff across your path or allows things to happen. You know, we don't have to posture and pretend. His grace is there for the taking, and it serves a purpose when he allows us to go through hard things. That same writer, Paul, who was that apostle, had this to say. Oh, actually, I'll read it to you, and then I'll show you what he said. He said, if I wanted to boast. Now, Paul was had seen a vision and stuff like that, and he says, I'm not even sure what I saw or what I didn't see or whatever. He said, but if I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth, but I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. You know, maybe some of that stuff that you're going through is doing just that, is to keep you from becoming proud. Because God answered Paul this way. 3 different times, Paul said, I begged the Lord to take it away from me. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Where are you feeling weak today? That is where God's power rests as you draw close to him and seek him. Paul, when he was in prison, in a different book, we read a letter that he wrote, and he actually asked people to pray that he would have boldness. Not just in prayer, but he trusted in that power of prayer. But he wanted boldness, not to get out of prison, but so that he could continue to explain the mysterious plans of God, his good news. Paul said to keep on speaking boldly for him. That's what his prayer was, as I should. We too can ask God to give us boldness. So if you lack that in your prayer life, or if you lack that in your witness, you can ask him for it. That's the kind of prayers that he likes to hear from his kids. You know, ask, it starts here. Do you know Jesus? Because that's your all-access pass to the Father. It's there for the asking. Whatever it is you need, you will find his grace and mercy for whatever you're going through. Seek. I got to ask you, what are you seeking? Are you seeking his kingdom? Are you seeking your own kingdom? Are you seeking his will? Are you seeking your own will? Be bold when you seek him and be specific with what you're asking from him. Because When we do that, we often will recognize then the answer when it comes. So ask and be specific when you're seeking him. And you may need to be patient. I had the realization this morning as I was going over things that, you know what? God does answer. Sometimes, though, it may not be in my lifetime. But I know that he will answer according to his will as his kingdom is being built. And then when we knock, what door are you asking God to open for you? Or would you be willing to go through one that he opens and says, hey, you, I want you to go on mission, or I want you to be a pastor, or I want you to do this, that, or the other. Share the gospel with that person. His door is always open. It's always open for you to enter into his presence boldly. There is no more division. You know, I said sometimes the answer isn't what we want. We all experience this from time to time. But we are confident that God can be trusted, aren't we? That we know that he's a good God, and that even if it hurts and it doesn't make sense, that he's still good and on the throne, and he's working out his plan for us, for you, for me, for those we love. Prayer isn't about us surrendering our will. It's about us surrendering our will to his will. You know, as earlier this week, someone had asked me to pray for them about a serious health issue. This person's close to me. And as I was praying, I was getting ready for work. And I had to go get something out of another room in the house. And this room is shut off most of the time. And as I went into that room, I remembered a great need on my heart that was really weighing me down. And I did what I needed to do. And then I went back across the house to get ready. And I just had this deep sense of sadness. And I thought, you know, I'm in mourning right now, and I'm just so sad. So I put on some music, as I often do, and then a song came on. And I thought, oh, this would be great for so-and-so. And so I sent it to him really quick, because I like to do that for people, because I know what they're going through. And I thought this song would be an encouragement. And then as I listened to the song a second time, I put it on replay. The words sunk into my own heart, and I just broke down and cried. Because I realized that, you know what, I'm asking God for this, and I think it's a good thing, but he hasn't said yes yet. And that's why knowing that the answer still may be out there, it may last longer than I am, but he will answer according to his will. You know, it drove this thought home for me. I will boldly pray, trusting God for his mercy and grace, come what may. Even if God doesn't answer your prayer the way that you think that he should, he will answer. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. You are a great and glorious and good and faithful God. We love you and we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you for your grace and mercy, and may it touch every heart in this room right where they're at. That you would still keep giving them hope, the hope of the promises that you are faithful and true. And Father, no matter what comes into our lives, may we keep seeking you in prayer faithfully, because we know you ask, you answer, you open, and you let us find what we need when we need it most. In Christ's name we pray, amen.